be coming true very soon, God knows, about certain rulers with particular names in the region that may be dying, and if they die, then that is a sign. So some of those are coming true, some of them have come true. But the ones that are definite in the sense that when we see them, then we know within the next few days the coming of the Imam, the zuhur of the Imam is going to happen. None of them have occurred yet. But we hope that they happen soon. We hope that this is going to happen soon. What we're told though is, whether those signs have come true or not, we should be awaiting the coming of our Imam every day, in the morning and in the evening. The Imams have said, the Ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt tell us, when the occultation occurs, the Ahlul Bayt have taught us that انتظروا الفرج صباحا ومساء. You should be awaiting the coming in the morning and in the evening. Basically, it should always be on your mind. This is what we've been taught. To keep in mind that we have a living Imam, that any moment, like Imam al-Hussein, that started a movement that very suddenly ended up in Karbala, the Imam of our time is going to, who is alive, can any moment can come, and we've got to be ready for that. Otherwise, God forbid, we may be on the wrong side. And that's a very scary thought. It's a very scary thought. That we think we are with the Ahlul Bayt, we think that we beat our chests every year in Muharram for Imam al-Hussein, condemn those who went and fought him, condemn those who did not support him. But then when the Imam of our time comes, everybody who supports him should go to that region to do whatever they can. And here I am, busy with work. God forbid, even going against the Imam, telling people he's not the Imam. That could easily happen to us, because we have an hadith. How can we prepare and keep this thought alive in us? What we need to develop in ourselves is complete servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are complete servants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the Imam of the time comes, we have enough control over the nafs that nothing will prevent us from obeying his command. Otherwise, if we have attachment to the dunya, attachment to the glamour of this world, attachment to the money that we have, the wealth that we have, the land that we have, the car that we have, the citizenship that we have, whatever it may be, if we have attachment to that, then that's going to prevent us from going and giving it up to go meet the Imam over time and join him and do what he tells us. I'd like to quote a story that was said by one of the ulama who used to speak at a masjid in Isfahan in Iran. And one night he spoke to the people and he told them, all of you pray for the coming of the Imam, and I actually pray that the Imam doesn't come, because I know I am not ready. I need to prepare myself. And I hope he doesn't come now, because if he does, I'm going to fail it. They say the caretaker of the masjid, that night when the alim, when the scholar went home, he took him his prayer mat, knocked on his door. When he came to the door, he says, here's your prayer mat. Please do not come to our masjid. We don't like scholars who say pray for the Imam not to come. And we've been told to pray for the Imam to come, and you're telling us to pray for him not to come? He says, okay, as you wish. And then later on that night, when he woke up, or around the time maybe for his night prayer, for his tahajjud prayers, he hears a knock at the door again, the scholar. And he goes to the door, and it's the same guy, the caretaker of the masjid. And he tells him, please come back to the masjid. He says, well, what happened? You're telling me not to come, now you're telling me to come. What's going on? He said, well, when I went home last night, when I slept, I had a dream. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught me in the dream how wrong I was and how right you are. He says, in the dream, what I saw was this. A messenger was sent by the Imam of my time. He came to my door and he said, here's some money. The Imam of your time has given you this money. And he has told you, you need to marry the daughter of this very wealthy man in the city. So like, oh, alhamdulillah, you know, love the Imam of my time. This money is there, marriage, very wealthy family, beautiful girl that I'm going to be marrying, alhamdulillah, for sure, very obedient to the Imam. So he took it, and he went to the, in his dream, he went to the family, he spoke to them, they agreed, got prepared for the marriage, they had the ceremony. In his dream, they had the marriage ceremony, he got married to this lady. The night he went home, Before he went to sleep, the door was knocked again. The same messenger of the Imam telling him, the Imam wants to start his movement tomorrow morning and he wants you to leave right now. Okay, right now. And he says, can we wait a day or two? I just got married. Just got married. This is how we are. We say, we ask the Imam of our time to come, but honestly, how ready are we? It's good to try to think of ourselves in the battlefield of Karbala. It's good for us to think, would we have been some of those that on the night of Ashura, when the Imam turned out the lights and said, leave, we would have said, well, now the Imam is telling us to leave. Okay. And here we have our chance, our opportunity. We get up and leave. Or are we going to be some of those that stayed with the Imam and said that if we're going to be killed 70 times, our bodies burnt and ashes thrown in the air, brought back to life 70 times like that, we're going to still stay with you? Or are we going to be like the ones who came by on the day of Ashura and watched the Imam being brutally treated and his family members killed, and just from a distance watch and had that love for the Imam, but just shed tears, that's it. Just shed tears for the Imam. Which one are we going to be? Very good for us to keep that thought in our minds. And every once in a while, truly go over our actions and judge based on that. Because the claim is easy. The claim is easy. A lot of us think that, yeah, of course, you know, we're Shia, we make dua, we remember the Imam, of course we're going to be. I'm not really sure about myself. I don't know about you. Inshallah, all of you guys are a lot more pure. You haven't committed sins. But for myself, I really, really doubt with my current state that I will be one of those that's going to join him immediately, at the very least, if I ever join. We've got a long ways to go. What he wants, what we need to do, is that obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we're able to avoid those sins, we are able to have full control of ourselves, of that nafs of ours, that's what the Imam wants. What Amir al-Mumineen didn't have was people that could control their nafs. He put them in positions and they abused that power. Okay? The Imam of our time needs people like that. Who is going to be that obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So that's the most important thing to do. One of the things that can help us in developing ourselves is the remembrance of the Imam of our time itself. That's why we have so many du'as that remind us of the coming of the Imam, remind us of praying for his coming, and remind us to pray for us being true companions and soldiers of the Imam of our time. We ended? Okay. Recite a salawat. What?